Thanks to everybody upstairs in the balcony. I know you're doing the technology equivalent of juggling chainsaws, and nobody's lost any limbs. You're doing great. So thanks for all your hard work. To have another church join us online virtually has been a dream for a couple of years now. We've managed to mostly pull it off, having Mike Hahn and his congregation in Florida join us to pray with us. It's a great reminder that what we do here, with technology or without, just in one language or two, or in this case, we've done it in three languages this morning, it's a good reminder that the church has always been larger than our own habits. It's larger than our own preferences or experiences. Even in this room, we hear different languages, different accents, different stories, different subtitles. Last year, we got Taylor Swift in the subtitles, and this year, we get Banana Trees. You never know what's going to show up, but regardless of the mistakes, the errors, the things that go right, the things that go wrong, we come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different experiences, but one faith. And somehow, despite all of the best efforts to not work out, we come together. At the same time, most of us naturally gravitate toward what feels familiar. Shared language creates comfort. Shared experiences create belonging. We tend to build our lives around people who understand us, who move through the world the way that we do, who make us feel at home. And that's not necessarily wrong. It's deeply human. And we do this everywhere. Friend groups form around common experiences. Neighborhoods gather around a shared culture. Churches settle into familiar rhythms and assumptions about who belongs and how things should feel. Familiarity often feels like unity because it removes friction. It lets us relax. It gives us the sense that we are surrounded by something we know, by our own kinds of people. And underneath that is a quiet assumption that unity is easiest when everyone is basically the same. But Scripture has never tolerated that premise, and never more so than the story of that one fateful Pentecost. Pentecost begins with people gathered together in groups, separate from one another, divided by culture and language. And the Spirit refuses to let the story stay safely inside those groups. The word of the Lord from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed, astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, even Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews, proselytes, the Cretans, the Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're just filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This moment, this Pentecost moment, does not arrive quietly. There is wind, there is noise, there is fire, there's confusion. The whole scene feels disruptive right from the beginning. And whatever the disciples expected the Holy Spirit to be, it probably was never this. This is not a calm spirituality that's tucked safely away from the world. This is interruption. And what's striking is that this miracle is not primarily that the disciples can speak. The miracle is that people can hear. Luke slows the story down by naming nation after nation, language after language. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, Judea, Pontus, Asia, Egypt, the list keeps stretching outward. It goes from inside out, widening their horizon of who is present and who is included. They all have different histories, different culture, different languages, different ways of understanding the world. They don't all vote the same way. They don't have the same politics. They don't have the same opinions about sports. They don't have the same opinions about food. They don't agree on anything. And yet, each person hears the mighty works of God proclaimed in their own language. What Pentecost reveals is that God does not erase these differences to create unity. The Spirit does not flatten humanity into sameness. The Spirit is moving outward into the complexity of the world just the way it is. And it disrupts something in us because we naturally prefer faith to stay manageable, familiar. We prefer communities where everyone already understands one another, where things feel predictable, where differences do not require patience or humility or learning. But the Holy Spirit interrupts that kind of faith, the kind that stays safely inside the room. So the doors of this room the disciples are in opens, and a crowd gathers, and the gospel moves outward into languages and lives that the disciples did not create, did not invite, and do not control. And this is where Pentecost becomes much more than a dramatic moment. It becomes a revelation of who God is and what God is doing in all the parts of the world. Peter reaches back to the prophet Joel and says, "This is that moment you've been waiting for, when God will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters, young and old, servants and free, the promise keeps getting bigger, wider, moving outward." Because this Holy Spirit is not reserved for a small, spiritual, elite group of apostles gathered together in a room. The Spirit is poured out abundantly, expansively, across every category that people can use to divide themselves from one another. And we are really good at creating new ways to divide ourselves. The risen Christ is not found in a church that is closed in on itself. It is found in a spirit-filled community that's sent into the world for the sake of gathering more others. Pentecost refuses to let mission become the spread of one culture over another. The Spirit does not wait for the crowd to become culturally identical before speaking to them in one unifying language. God meets people where they are, in the language that they understand, inside the lives that they are already living. And the Spirit speaks in the language of that listener. And that may be more astonishing than anything else in this story. God does not demand that anyone first come towards sameness before they can hear good news. The gospel just moves outward toward them. And that is exactly what Paul describes in Corinthians years later, when he talks about how the church is one body with many members, unity without erasure, communion without uniformity. Shared life in Christ is somehow larger than all the boundaries that we build for ourselves. The Spirit does not flatten the difference. The Spirit makes communion possible across all of those differences. Because though we don't agree on anything at all, we can always find agreement and unity in that one Spirit of Christ. And once the Spirit pushes the church outward, it becomes impossible to think about faith as something private or self-contained, because we still build our lives around comfort and familiarity. We still drift toward people who think like us, who speak like us, who worship like us. We still carry assumptions about who belongs and who feels unfamiliar. And it's not always out of hostility, just that familiarity feels safe. But Pentecost keeps pushing outward beyond that instinct. This gathering itself becomes a small sign of Pentecost. This is not simply a special service or an unusual Sunday rhythm. It's a reminder that the kingdom of God has always been larger than any one language. The kingdom of God has always been bigger than any one culture, and it has never resided in just one community. The church becomes the church when the Spirit binds people together across the things that would normally separate us. It's not everyone speaking in one language. Pentecost is everyone hearing the mighty works of God together. And that changes what mission looks like. Mission is not exporting ourselves to another place. It is not making everyone become like us before they can belong. Mission is participating in what the Spirit is already doing in the world that God loves. And that requires something from us. It requires listening before speaking. Usually, mission is thought of as taking good news to someone else and speaking at them. But more often than not, I think mission is actually learning to listen to what God is doing in places we just haven't been yet. So as you heard from Juan this morning, as you heard from Mycon, we support mission efforts around the world, yes. But more importantly, those groups of Christians have been supporting us in prayer all this time too. We are just as much their mission field as they are ours. Last I heard, and these numbers are hard to track, did you know, for example, that there are more missionaries being sent from Africa to the U.S. than the U.S. is sending to Africa? Welcome to the mission field. You are someone else's mission field. We learn to listen before we speak. We learn hospitality instead of suspicion. We learn names. We learn stories. We don't make assumptions. We cross lines of comfort for the sake of love. We make room at tables that would be easier to keep closed because the Spirit is always moving the church outward from itself toward others. A church filled with the Spirit cannot remain closed in on itself. And it's easy to think we are because we have walls and a roof and a building, which is why, as hard as it is, it's good for us to see another church worshiping in another language, another part of the world, at the same time that we do it every week. And maybe that's the real challenge of Pentecost, not whether we believe that the Spirit exists or that they actually spoke in different languages, but whether we are willing to be led where the Spirit moves, toward people we do not fully understand yet, toward neighbors that we might otherwise avoid, toward a world that Christ still loves enough to send his church into. Pentecost is not the story of people escaping the world. It's the story of God sending his people deeper into it. The disciples do not stay in the room. That matters. The story does not end with a private spiritual experience shared amongst insiders. The Spirit immediately drives the church out into the streets, into the crowds, into public witness, and into the lives of other people. The Spirit never settles for a faith that stays locked away. And that means the church is always gathered for the sake of being sent, sent into neighborhoods, sent into relationships, sent into ordinary places where people are hungry for hope, for mercy, for reconciliation, for understanding, for belonging. Not because any one of us has the answers, not because any one of us is spiritually superior, but because the Spirit continues to move outward into the world, and Christ continues gathering people into his life. The Spirit gathers us from many places, and the Spirit binds us together in Christ. And then the Spirit sends us into the world together. What we do here week after week, in this room or that one or together, is just one small part of the amazing things God is doing with groups like this around the world constantly. What we do here in two languages or one or this morning in three is just a small taste of what the Spirit is doing across this globe. And as we partake in this meal, we remember that what we don't do alone. Yes, you chew by yourself and you drink by yourself, but you do not take this bread, you do not take this cup in isolation. You do it with people all around the world that you have nothing in common with except the one thing that matters most. Despite our languages, despite our opinions, despite our politics, despite our allegiances, the one thing we have in common with one another is the one thing that matters above all. We worship the same risen Christ in every corner of this world. Let's stand and sing.